He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It's November the 16th. Wake up, everybody. It's a new week. Going to be an active week. There's going to be a lot going on this week. Right now, it looks like deja vu all over again. This is almost an exact repeat of last Monday with very striking COVID news and the so-called recovery stocks, Dow stocks up. The work from home stocks a little quiet here today. Now, here's where we're at so far this morning. We are in the green across the board, but the big move is in the Dow on the Moderna vaccine news this week. Last week, it was the Pfizer vaccine news. Oh, it's all good news. The Dow up 329 points right now. That puts it at 29,809, closing in on its all-time high. That's a good thing and it's a bad thing. It's a good thing that it's closing in on its all-time high. From a technical point of view, however, that has spelled resistance. Last Monday it was resistance. The Dow could not poke its head above that. That's a ceiling right now. But this is a new day, a new week. We'll see if we can crack that all-time high. S&P up 26 points, 36.11. I want to say that is breaking through. I'll check that during the break to an all-time high. NASDAQ up 59, closing in on its all-time high, 11.887. The small caps up 1.4%. They would benefit wildly if we could put COVID to bed once and for all. Crude oil also rallying today on hopes that life gets back to normal. Is there a new normal? Crude oil up $1.21, $41.34. Gold up a paltry 30 cents. And the bond market is selling off today like it did last Monday, 0.90. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Welcome to a new working week. We will be working all week, looking ahead to I heard Thanksgiving's been canceled this year, so I'm going to return my turkey to Harris Teeter and tell them, hey, put it in the freezer until next year. Oh, we'll see. We've got very much a repeat of last Monday. Very strange. Last Monday, we woke up to giant news from Pfizer / BioNTech that they had a vaccine that was 90% effective, and the only hitch was it had to be stored and transported at 94 degrees below zero. Well, today, we get news from the main competitor to Pfizer. And don't forget, you still got AstraZeneca and Johnson lurking out there. I've been saying all along that we could end up with several vaccines. But here's the scoop on Moderna. They are 94% effective, okay, a little bit higher than Pfizer. And it remains stable at minus 4 degrees Fahrenheit for up to 6 months and at refrigerated conditions for up to 30 days. So that may make the logistics of delivering that particular vaccine, if it's approved and chosen, a little bit easier than Pfizer. So Moderna's having a big day today. Let me check in where it's at right now. Moderna is up 6.6% right now. We finished off last week, Friday the 13th, with a pretty good move in the market. All of the indexes closing in on all-time highs. And like I say, that's a good thing that we're closing in on all-time highs. But at the same time, from a technical point of view, okay, I'm just saying this, that right now there's that ceiling there on the Dow and the NASDAQ. I want to say, and I'm going to look at the S&P 500 right now, I believe that's breaking through. Yes, it is. It's breaking through. And a lot of times when one index will break through and, start to trace new ground, new highs, the others will follow. But remember, it's all about the close. Last Monday, the Dow was at all-time highs, above 30,000-foot altitude before it came back during the day. We'll see if the S&P can capture this new high territory and remain there. There's the key. Okay, what else do we have? What don't we have going on? It's a very busy day in the market. So, what did we see last Monday with the big Pfizer news? You saw the recovery stocks. Okay. Hotels, restaurants, cruise ships, airlines, etc., oil and gas companies on the rebound, and you saw a lot of the work from home stocks, the so-called sunny side of the street during COVID. You see, you're seeing them sell off again just like they did last week, okay? We'll get to that in a little bit. Now, the futures were up this morning even before the Moderna news, because there were some pretty good numbers coming out of China. If you can believe the numbers, we had 150,000 new daily infections last week, which makes these vaccines all the more important. But so we were up this morning pretty good on the futures, mostly on the back of some good reports coming from China. And then the vaccine news coming out of Moderna kind of lit a fire here under the market. And we're up 1.1% right now on the Dow. Okay, what's selling off? Well, your usual suspects. Let me just see how bad that sell-off is. I don't think it's as bad as last Monday. No, I'm looking at the work-from-home ETF, WFH. WFH is actually up 0.5%. Now, let's look at some of those work-from-home stocks. Zoom Video, well, it's awfully expensive. It's down 2.3%. How's Peloton doing? That's another kind of a bellwether for this group. That's a soggy-looking stock to me. I don't like that stock chart at all. That's pretty much flat on the day. Let's look at NVIDIA. How's it doing today with all the gamers? It's having a good solid performance today. Let's look at Amazon. Well, let's look at iBuy. We think that that is a something that's here to stay, people buying from home. iBuy is up a quarter of a percent today. Now, on the other hand, okay, let's look at the cruise lines. NCLH would be Norwegian Cruise Lines. It's up 5.2% today. Carnival is up 7.6%. Let's take a look at a Marriott. MAR is up 2.5%. Let's look at American Airlines. It's up 4.2%. You see what I mean? There's a pretty big disparity, just like last Monday. Between the recovery stocks and the so-called work-from-home stocks. Okay, we had a pretty good evening, nighttime session overseas. Strong economic data and an S&P 500 record this morning in the futures, and it's holding on to that right now. Japan was up 2% overnight. China up 1.1%. Europe up about 0.75% overnight. Still, you know, look, I mean, there's a lot of people still holding out hope that the election will not be certified in some of these swing states. There's still a lot of allegations being made. So, you know, I mean, as you look to the future and you look at earnings estimates and expectations, I took a look at two scenarios over the weekend. One scenario would be with the corporate tax remaining where it's at. And the second scenario, which seems more likely at this point, would be a 20% chunk taken out of S&P 500 earnings due to a rising corporate tax. But obviously, you know, the election is not over yet. There is some hope being held out by a lot of the You've got Maria Bottaromo on it. You've got attorneys Lynn Wood. You've got Sidney Powell. You've got Rudy Giuliani. So, you know, it's still alive, and we're going to continue to watch that. In the meantime, as I reported on Friday, China, I think maybe amidst all of the division in America, made a major, major power play on Friday by purchasing a utility that supplies all the energy to Chile. Where do you think this time of year, when you go into the store and you see plums and peaches and watermelons and fresh table grapes, they're not coming from the San Joaquin Valley in California. They're coming from Chile. But even bigger than that, China made a huge trade deal with one-third of the world's economy. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, pretty good economic news out of China. Of course, on Friday, they signed a massive, one of the biggest trade deals, maybe the biggest trade deal ever, with a lot of countries, allies of the U.S., but obviously the U.S. is not part of that trade deal. Japan's economy bounces back, shrugs off pandemic slump. I have a lot of new stocks on my radar this week. And, you know, whether any of them end up in my portfolios, I don't know yet. But one of them is one I discovered actually this morning out of Japan. So maybe we'll have a little. It's actually a $50 billion company that pays a huge dividend, and it's one of the best performers in the market this year. Now, it's one of those stocks that ends with a Y, meaning it trades on the pink sheets. But it is a big, big, big company that trades pretty heavy volume. So I'll be watching that. Japan's economy reporting a pretty good rebound here. And, of course, they've announced two stimulus packages in Japan worth a combined $2.2 trillion to ease the pain from the health crisis. You know, that's one thing I like about being an unconstrained investor. It just may be that at some point in the future, we don't know, there may be better or there may be a lot of good opportunities overseas, outside of the U.S. You know, as I ranked the asset classes last week in my Best Stocks Now app, which I put in my newsletter every Saturday, emerging markets was the number one asset class of the 33 that I follow, and international markets also outside the U.S. They've been very, very strong and in some cases breaking out to new all-time highs. So, you know, the app has a good amount of foreign stocks in it. I just feel like the more rocks I look under, the more gold nuggets I'm likely to find or apt to find, and there's actually been some pretty good foreign stocks over the years that end in Y. I can think of Tencent Holdings for sure. I found that thing way early on, but there's a lot of others that aren't as big of household names as Tencent Holdings. So stay tuned this week. I got a lot of new stocks on my radar. Okay, the sentiment indicators. That comes from the American Association of Individual Investors. Well, I hate to break the bad news, but individual investors are usually wrong, okay? And why do they use these sentiment indicators? Because they're contrary indicators. When the sentiment rises to fever pitch levels by individual investors, that's usually been a pretty reliable sell signal. Conversely, when I think back to March of this year, mid-March, late March, when the sentiment of individual investors drops to gloom and doom type of numbers, that's usually a good buying opportunity. Well, I will just say, as a person who went all in back in March, late March and early April of this year, it was an excellent indicator. Although that wasn't the main indicator that I used, the main indicator that I used was earnings expectations going forward, and they were quite rosy at that point. The market was pricing in a pretty big couple of quarter, three-quarter hit to GDP and to S&P 500 earnings, and then for the companies would then adjust layoffs, whatever they got to do, trim down, and the COVID would start to be dealt with, and earnings would start to recover in 2021 next year, and that's exactly what has taken place. And at that time, point in time, the sentiment from individual investors was, hang Bill Gunderson. This guy's crazy. He doesn't respect COVID. He's treasonous almost. I mean, I got hammered on Seeking Alpha. That's okay. I mean, I go forward. I just go with what my numbers are telling me. But that was an excellent indicator, not only the numbers, but also the sentiment. Now, where is that sentiment today? Well, we're at the opposite end of the spectrum, aren't we? The American Association of Individual Investors, I've spoken to their groups a few times, and they're pretty savvy investors, but I do think they use emotion a little too much. The sentiment measure for the weekend of November 11th, bullish expectations for stocks over the next 6 months soared 17.9% to 55.8. Okay, that is a very bearish indicator. And I would just say that in addition to that, the market has not taken into account yet a very likely tax hike next year. And when you look at my two scenarios for target prices on the S&P 500 for next year and the year after, there's a huge difference behind door number one and door number two. There's a huge difference. In fact, you know, if you price in a 20% tax hike and you lower the multiple, which would happen on that scenario, because you'd probably get a little bit of inflation in the picture, and I think interest rates are probably going to ratchet up a little higher here. I think you'll see interest rates above one here pretty soon. That means the multiples start to contract. We ended Friday at 21.6 times earnings, 21.6. What's the five-year average? 17.3. Now, if the multiple, which I think it will eventually start contracting more towards the mean in that 16 to 17 area, okay, that takes the S&P 500 target price quite a bit lower from where it is now. In addition to that, if you take a 20% piece of the pie out of S&P 500 earnings, you've got a target price on the S&P 500, which is drastically lower from where it's at. I just want to let you know of that, okay? And in addition to this, you have individual investor sentiment soaring, okay? So you got a couple of big warning yellow flags out there on the S&P 500 right now. And at the same time, you got the vaccine news, okay? So we'll see where earnings go from here. But like I say, there's door number one and there's door number two. Which one will it be? Biden says a national lock. Well, his advisors say if he gets to that January 20th inauguration day, a national lockdown is unlikely. However, he would leave it up to the states, and I think there would be probably pretty strong pressure on the states for more lockdowns in the future. That's another factor you have to weigh into future earnings expectations of the S&P 500. Those are the best indicators of all, future earnings of where this market goes from here. Well, we'll be right back. That's where we go from here. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Our Dow up 407 right now, closing in on that all-time high. Can it break through and stay there? The S&P has already done that. It hasn't stayed there. It's all about the close today. Usually we see markets settle quite a bit later in the day. We'll see if that holds true here. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ has also gathered a little bit of steam here. The NASDAQ is up 80 points. We've kind of got deja vu all over again. It was the second Monday in a row we're getting big vaccine news. Last week it was Pfizer. This week it's Moderna. You're not seeing the big sell-off in the NASDAQ like you saw last week, however, but the NASDAQ is not as strong as the Dow, the so-called recovery trade, recovery from COVID, which sectors would that benefit the most? And of course, those sectors that were wildly benefited from COVID, the stay at home, work from home, buy from home, work out from home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they're not trading as favorably as the recovery stocks. And of course, a lot of those recovery stocks are Dow related. A lot of work from home stocks are NASDAQ related. Okay, where do we go from here? We go next to Elon Musk and SpaceX. That's a pretty big accomplishment, you know? All right, so how do you get exposure to SpaceX? I'm pretty sure you get it through Tesla. Tesla has been a stock that's been dead in the water now for about 3 months. We do not own Tesla at the current time. $386 billion in market capitalization. But four astronauts were launched, not in a Tesla. It was in a SpaceX rocket via the Crew Dragon capsule by SpaceX Sunday evening. Well, this is the first. The Dragon has successfully completed 22 flights to and from the International Space Station with human spaceflight in mind. The latest launch comes after NASA formally certified the craft for human travel, something that hasn't happened in 40 years. So, big accomplishment for Elon. Elon is always one to be in the news. He says he got a positive coronavirus test, and then he got a negative one, and then a positive one. He wants to know which one is the right one. Becton Dickinson, the provider of the equipment that he took the test on, is going to get back to him and look into get to the bottom of it. Well, Twitter has competition. I was reading this article today. Parler takes fight to Twitter and Facebook by doubling their user base in under a week. Launched in 2018, Parler, spelled P-A-R-L-E-R, was the most downloaded app. I thought it was Best Stocks Now on both Android and the Apple devices for most of last week, according to data from Google and analytics firm App Annie. I get an email from App Annie every morning telling me how my apps are doing. In fact, Parler's user base more than doubled to 10 million in under a week, marking a staggering rate of growth, though it is far behind Twitter and Facebook in absolute numbers. Parler has about 4 million active users compared to 187 million at Twitter. Wow, that's a big difference. But anyways, look out. Here comes Parler. Okay, earnings season is basically in the books right now. 92% of the S&P 500 companies have now reported their actual results. We're going to get 12 S&P 500 companies reporting this week. But you know what? The books are almost closed on Q3. It was fantastic. For Q3, 92% S&P 500 companies reporting actual results. 84% have beat their earnings estimates, while 78% have beat their revenue estimates. When we started this quarter, earnings were supposed to come in 20% lower than the same quarter last year. Instead, they came in just 7.1% lower. In other words, it was a knockout quarter of Q3 2020. In fact, we pretty much have reached my target prices. The street has finally caught up with me on where my target price or where my earnings estimates have been for this year. And then, as I say, for next year, 2021, you have to have two earnings estimates. You've got to have one under a keep the corporate tax the same scenario, and you have to have another one for hiking the corporate tax rate by 33%, taking it from 21 back to 28. It does have a big impact because earnings, EPS, earnings per share, is an after-tax number. And I also updated my numbers for 2022 using two scenarios, door number one, door number two. To see those target prices that I have out there, I've been pretty deadly accurate with my target prices for the last decade plus, since the 2009-2008 bear market. You can check out my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Now, this is how I make my major macro call on the market, and really it dictates how aggressive, how moderate, bearish, cautious maybe that I am at any given point in time. It all stems from my macro outlook on the overall market, which I publish in my newsletter every single week. Of course, we will not, we're now in the throes of the fourth quarter of 2020. It's supposed to come in about 10% lower, but I got a hunch we're going to smash those estimates. And then, of course, we begin a recovery quarter where we start to see growth again by the first quarter of next year. There was a little bit of activity Friday in the Chinese electric vehicle sector. Citroen, that is our friend Andrew Left, who is a noted short seller. Well, he's been long NIO. He's been long NIO for quite some time, and so have I, and we've racked up some huge profits in NIO. Well, on Wednesday, I made a little note to myself on my chart that I look at every day of NIO. I said, Bill, it's about time to take half of this position off the table, because it's grown to almost a 9% position in my emerging growth portfolio. In fact, that NIO position is up, since I purchased it, 142%. I purchased it back on September the 14th. NIO is a major disruptive electric vehicle maker out of China, and it exploded. I bought it at $18.57. It's currently trading in the $45 area. That's 142% profit for me in my emerging growth. I did sell half of my shares on Friday. Unfortunately, I did it after Andrew Left came out with his saying, take your profits and run. So I could have had a higher profit would I have taken my half off the day before. I kept the other half, however. Citron Research pulls the plug on its recommendation on NIO about 2 years after making a surprising bullish call. Well, congratulations to Citron. They were in it before I was. And Andrew Left said, it's time for investors to rotate out of NIO, enjoy your profits, and look for the next disruptive technology. Well, I agree with that, but I did keep half of my NIO for now. And, of course, the other Chinese electric stocks also sold off. Also, there was news from Ford. They're going to go after this whole, you know, that seems to be the holy grail, these delivery vans and trucks, making them electric. So many people are getting in on that space. Pretty soon, there's not going to be much profit to go around. But now Ford is entering that space with an E-Transit, and that caused a sell-off in Workhorse Group. And I reported on Friday that China bought a California company, Phoenix Technology, that is also in that game, the so-called last mile getting goods to your door. All right, well, we've got to come up with the featured stock. Well, here's some good news. Chipotle lands a street-high price target from Piper Sandler. CMG, let's see how it's responding today. Well, it's up a little bit. You'd think it'd be doing better with the COVID news, but Piper Sandler hikes their price target to $1,745. That's pretty significant. That's 500 points higher than where Chipotle is today. And I'm here to tell you that based on the numbers and the expectations out there on the street for Chipotle, I agree with Piper Sandler. Okay, this is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Dow up 425. We'll have our featured stock of the day. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. What is turning out to be a day very much like last Monday, where we had big vaccine news coming from Pfizer. Today, we are getting big vaccine news coming from Moderna. Now, it would seem that on the surface, maybe Moderna has one-up Pfizer just a little. Pfizer's efficacy rate is 90%. Moderna's is 94%. Take that, Pfizer. It's a totally different way of attacking the problem, the methodology that Moderna used versus what Pfizer used. And there's a big competitive advantage to Moderna because of the not being required to stay at 94 degrees below zero. It's where Pfizer's drug has to be in order to remain effective. I don't know. Is Moderna's a two-point? I don't think it is. I think it's one dose. I'll have to look into that. Off the top of my head, I don't have the answer to that. Paul, Barry, you guys are listening. Maybe you can figure that one out before the show's over and text me. But Pfizer's is a two-part vaccine process. Now, for the featured stock of the day, I could go with one that's a little more traditional. I could go with one that's pretty aggressive, or I could go for something way out there. How many want the traditional one? I don't see many hands. You know, there's a few. There's a guy in Houston that wants this, the traditional one. Someone in Milwaukee. How many want the aggressive, very aggressive, a recent IPO? Oh, I'm seeing a lot of hands there. Wow. Look at that. All over Georgia, Minnesota, Florida. Look at all the Sarasota people. Let's hear it, Gunderson. What did your Best Talk Now up app dig up now? Well, the little wild thing that I found this morning made my eyeballs pop out, but it's up 25% right now. I think I'll wait for that one to cool off a little bit, maybe by Wednesday. I know the temperature and the weather is going to cool off a little bit here. We need this one to cool off a little bit before I even mention it. Let's go with the aggressive one. Okay, you can say what you want about China, the Chinese economy, Chinese stocks. I've made a lot of money in Chinese stocks. Now, having said that, I don't own 90% of my portfolios aren't littered with Chinese stocks. But there's a lot of legit Chinese companies. Many of them, I'm sure they're knockoffs of U.S. companies where somehow the technology ended up in their hands just by accident and whatnot. There seems to be a lot of that going on these days. But this Li Auto, the symbol LI, Li Auto, LI, went public in late July. And I took note of it at that time. I do follow this industry pretty closely. And And why shouldn't I? It's one of the leading industries in the entire market. It's the EV industry. I looked into doing an ETF almost 3 years ago. And if anybody was at my workshops in 1999, I want to say, I was saying that I'm a witness to the computer revolution. I'm a witness to the telephone revolution. And I said, really, the next revolution is going to be in the automobile industry, because we pretty much still do things the way we've always done. And with all of this stuff out there, like autonomous driving and electric batteries and smart cars, etc., I proposed an ETF, ICAR, I-C-A-R. I even looked into getting the symbol. But then I looked into the expenses and the competition, and you're up against, you know, BlackRock and blacksmiths and whoever else. It's an uphill battle in this ETF game these days, because there's so many ETFs out there. But anyways, I was right on with calling the automobile revolution, which is now well in full swing. I just got an answer. The Moderna vaccine is a two-part vaccine, four weeks apart. So you got to come back. Can I get into a Ticketmaster event with just the first dose, I wonder? Probably not. We'll have to see. Am I going to get a tattoo or something that I got to show, or what? A card? I've been vaccinated? I don't know. This is all going to become very controversial at some point in time. Anyways, Lee Auto, back to Lee, L-I, is now a $29 billion company. I like growth. I like companies that are flourishing. Look at their last three quarters of sales. In Q2 of this year, they had $120 million in sales. In Q3, they had $275 million in sales. That's more than double, quarter over quarter. That's sequential growth. That's phenomenal sequential growth. And then in the most recent quarter, which they just reported, they had $370 million. So their sales have tripled. Their sales have tripled in three quarters. Now, we don't have earnings yet. This is a very young company, and they will be bringing Lee Auto's electric. You can look at L-I-X, LiXiang.com, LiXiang.com, L-I-X-I-A-N-G.com. Start building your Lee car like you would on Tesla's website. Color wheels do you want, blah, 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 this and that. Anyways, Lee has started popping up on my momentum screens very early on. And continues to do so. I currently do not own Lee Auto, but I have my eyes on it. The symbol LI will make that our featured stock of the day. And if this little wild thing settles down by Thursday, I'll let you guys know down there in Sarasota, because I know you like these little wild things from time to time. And maybe just the traditional one. It's doing well also. But I think I just featured it last Friday or Thursday. You'll have to go back and listen to those shows. It's rocking today. Well, my guys are ready. They told me they're rested over the weekend. They've been hammered. You know, I'm putting new money to work every single day from new clients coming in through our doors, our portals, because we do things a little bit differently here at Gunder. We're not a traditional asset allocator, putting you into a bunch of mutual funds, letting them collect their fees, and we add a fee on top of that. No. We don't do that. We direct. We create those mutual funds, ETFs, for you. We have five different funds that I have created and manage meticulously on a daily basis. And we only want to own the best stocks or best bonds or best dividend or best small caps or best large caps or best foreign stocks, whatever the case may be. That word best is a very key concept here at our firm. That's why our number is 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. That's why the show is Best Stocks Now. That's why the newsletter is Best Stocks Now and the app Best Stocks Now. You can find it all at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.